The election may be over, but there's more drama unfolding, especially in the Park City, when it comes to absentee ballot fraud cases. Last month, Bridgeport City Councilman Alfredo Castillo was arrested for the fourth time on a charge of illegally possessing a woman's absentee ballot in the recent election. And then literally maybe a week or so later, a campaign worker who was reportedly paid nearly $10,000 by current Mayor Joe Ganim's reelection campaign as a consultant illegally took possession of a voter's absentee ballot in last year's do-over mayoral election in Bridgeport. So here we go. These headlines have come out again and again and again. It's a lot of the same cast of characters who continue to get arrested or be accused of doing these wrongdoings. And so we thought it was a good time to have Secretary of the State Stephanie Thomas back in to onto the show to weigh in on this conversation yet again. Secretary of the State, thank you so much for giving us the time. We really appreciate it.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
So first and foremost, I think it's always important that people understand that when you hear these stories, I mean, you don't love them, obviously. I mean, it has to be a real, to me, like a real bruise, if you will, on Connecticut's, I think, look when it comes to clean elections.
I mean, it definitely, I hate seeing these stories because by and large, we have a very secure system, and there are these outliers here. What I like about hearing these stories, a few things people should keep in mind. One, they are released as the State Elections Enforcement Commission, or committee, sorry, investigates them. So as the cases you just mentioned came from last February's election, and there were other cases that were just investigated more quickly, maybe they were able to speak to the witness, etc. So most of these cases are stemming from the same of elections. And what I like about hearing them is this is exactly what I want. In both of these recent cases, these were individuals or family members of individuals stepping forward to file for an investigation. And I've always said our election monitors cannot be everywhere. We need people to say something if they see something. And we have to educate them about what is wrong. And if we do, they'll report it. And that's how we tamp this down.
I hate to ask this question, but I'm going to, Secretary of the State. But, you know, you brought up the State Election Enforcement Commission, and obviously they're doing their job. I feel like you're hearing about them more and more, which is really positive. And I feel like we're finally getting to the people who continue to commit these crimes. Great. I guess, though, like the question always becomes to what end? So they get arrested, they face charges, but nothing essentially happens to them. Is that because of Bridgeport's jurisdiction, or why doesn't more happen, I guess? Why do they continue to still have the opportunity to be on ballots or to hold important office in the city of Bridgeport?
I'm actually probably not the person to advise on that, right? I'm not in the judicial branch. I don't know. I don't have access to knowing what goes on behind the scenes with the state's attorney's office, et cetera. I would imagine, like any criminal investigation, what the ultimate adjudication is depends sometimes on the witness reliability, how much evidence there is, etc. But I've only been secretary 3 years now. I do know that it feels like there's more accountability happening now than I was aware of, you know, back in 2019 when some of these allegations were raised around the same people. I know now some of the cases, at least from what I've seen in the paper, there's much more compelling evidence than, like video footage, which was not available in 2019. So I would expect almost all of the defendants, I believe, are due back in court on December 11th. So like everyone else, I'm waiting to see what remedies are proposed by the court. we know that many of these types of allegations, the potential penalty can be 5 years imprisonment per offense, or up to $5,000 in fines.
So just so I have this correct, Stephanie Thomas, so what you're saying is that it could just be that, like anything, the court system is doing its thing, but that could take time. So we're finally calling out wrongdoings. We have the proof of it, but we have to let the case play out essentially in court. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
So we may see something happen where you are either doing time or you're removed from office or whatever the case may be. It just hasn't completed. The cases haven't been completed yet in court.
That's correct.
Okay. Because I do think when you look at, I mean, the irony of, you know, somebody I just mentioned in the beginning of this, Alfredo Castillo, somebody who was literally in court for absentee ballot fraud the same day as Election Day. I mean, he was reelected, interestingly enough. But I just find the irony of that, or when you hear about, you know, somebody who has become, I think, infamous in the city of Bridgeport and really the state of Connecticut, is Wanda Jeter Pataki, still sitting as the vice chair of the Democratic Party in Bridgeport for so many people, including myself. You're kind of like, well, so how does that happen when the proof is there? But what you're saying is we could still see basically people, if they are found guilty of those things, we could see the punishment down the line. It just hasn't happened yet.
Correct. When you know, it is absurd, but it's also a very different system. So the legal system is going through their steps. They, you know how it is. There's multiple court dates. There's procedural court dates, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There are some cases that last a year or even more, depending on many things that I'm not aware of, right? And then the election is happening separately. What I am hopeful for is that we are getting to a point, we hear so many of these stories, but as you correctly acknowledge, it's like about a dozen people who are arrested, et cetera, again and again and again and again. And most of the allegations fall within just a few types of crimes: possession of someone else's ballot, being present when a ballot is voted, misrepresenting eligibility requirements, etc. So every time one of these stories come out, I think it does a disservice to the residents of Bridgeport, who by and large are following the rules. And we have to see something happen with these same bad actors.
We're chatting with Secretary of the State Stephanie Thomas, and we're talking about absentee ballot fraud, election-related fraud cases, specifically in the city of Bridgeport. And correct me if I'm wrong, Secretary of the State, but there was quite an investment made by your office specifically for Bridgeport voters this year, wasn't there, to better inform and to make sure they can avoid these types of crimes from being committed?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to explain, I would say there are three issues that we have found with all of these cases in Bridgeport. There are some people who allegedly are bad actors who are intentionally trying to mislead voters. But then there are also uninformed members of the public and uninformed campaign workers. So one of the things we did this year was put out basically an advertising campaign, bilingual, English and Spanish in Bridgeport, that included a mailer going to every household, bus wraps, print advertisement, radio ads, television, et cetera, streaming, just to try to educate people about what is allowed and what isn't, so that if someone came to them saying, yes, I can take your absentee ballot, or yes, you're eligible, et cetera, they knew that was wrong and they could have reported for investigation.
Is there anything, Secretary of the State, that could effectively be done, like blocking or putting somebody on hold or like suspension you know, if you're running for office or running for re-election or you're currently serving in office, but you are accused and there's good evidence, but like your case is playing out. I mean, is there anything effectively that could stop you even temporarily until your case is done? Like I look at, for example, almost any other job. You're a cop and something happens internally or you're accused of something. You are suspended. You are not able to do your job. Maybe you are working administratively, but you're not able to do your job until that investigation wraps up, just as an example. Is there anything we could do like that? Because I think that's a deterrent. I think that'd be a real deterrent from people continuing to commit the same crimes, allegedly.
I mean, I'm not sure, right? Because even if you're arrested, you're innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. And I would imagine you gave the example of a police officer, but it might depend on the type of crime. And again, I don't know the details of this that they're accused of. So, for example, you might get desk duty instead of being out in the field if right. you're accused of something that happened out in the field. So I don't know how that would translate if you're a town council member and accused of some sort of election crime because there's not a correlation between the two. There are laws about, for example, being accused of being convicted of an election crime and being a future election worker. There are laws about being convicted of an election crime and being able to vote again. And, so I have no idea, but it's something worth looking into. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah, I mean, again, I certainly don't know the right answer to it, but I think to myself, you know, these are really powerful positions. And even if they're kind of written off, I'm not saying you've written them off, but, you know, I'll say, you know, if you work, you're a city council member, or you're a board of education member, or you know, whatever it may be, you do wield power, whether you want to look at it that way or not. I mean, no, maybe you're not the governor.
You
right. You know what I mean?
You like, definitely yield power.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like you're impacting thousands of people's lives by the decisions you're making, the votes that you're making, the ideas you're putting forward. And I'm not saying that I don't agree with innocent until proven guilty. But I think when you've got especially a system where it feels like the same bad actors continuing to be able to hold these positions and we're kind of waiting for cases to play out. I just wonder if there's, and again, I know you're talking about something specific to Bridgeport, but, you know, to have something, I think, you know, for the whole state wouldn't be a bad idea. I don't think it happens all across the state of Connecticut. In fact, it seems like it doesn't really happen, except for in Bridgeport, really. But I don't know, just thinking outside the box.
It's a really interesting idea. I would imagine it probably would come down to what's in town charters and that type of thing, because those are municipal positions. But I think by and large, we have to work at the problem from multiple angles. And you've heard me say this so many times, voter education is so key. And that's where we need to get to in Bridgeport. People need to raise their hand and say, someone came to my door and they're doing something wrong. And then when it gets referred to SEEK, we need to see quick investigations and it needs to go through the court system more quickly. I think if we start seeing increased speed between the allegation and the adjudication, that's when word gets out. And I think that serves as a disincentive just as much as what you're proposing.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, in particular, some of the people that we're talking about maybe not being endorsed. You know, maybe it's a matter of not
absolutely.
Endorsing them, you know, the Democratic Party, for example. And again, I'm only saying because these are the people that we're talking about in Bridgeport right now are of the Democratic Party. Maybe they don't get endorsed.
And this is where every single voter being involved is important. Low turnout, in part, is one of the issues when too few people show up. you know, we're not hearing the voices of everyone. Part of what we've been trying to do is prove to Bridgeport voters that we care about them, that we're trying to educate them, that we are trying to solve problems that people have reported to me have been going on for like over two or three decades. So trying to change that culture is very important. We don't want anyone in Bridgeport to feel like, hey, my vote doesn't matter, or this system is corrupt, etc. We need people to show up and turn out, and that also helps tamp down on the problem.
Yeah, certainly. Well, Stephanie Thomas, we appreciate you giving us the time and for the work you do as Secretary of the State here in Connecticut. Thank you so much.